Amen. Father God, we just praise you and glorify you, and we thank you for this time that we're in, Lord. Glory be to God. And I praise you, Lord, that all that you're going to accomplish in us, through us, and for us tonight. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. The power of the universe lives inside of us, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you're teaching us that, yeah, we don't have to put up with anything other than you. And we're not putting up with you. We love you. We just praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in us too. You're plying this old hard heart of ours and making it a soft, pliable heart of Jesus. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you for all that you're doing. Lord, fill us with the baptism of the fire, glory to God, and let revival start now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's see. What was it I was supposed to pray about? You remember, Julie? Let's see. Oh, my daughter's friend has got a lump on her breast, and she wants us to pray that it's not cancerous. They're going to remove that tomorrow. And in the name of Jesus, we command her body to be cancer free, free from all infections of the enemy. And when that tumor is taken out, it's just going to be gone. And she's going to be completely free of any cancer cells or anything that would harm her in any way. And I thank you, Father, she is a believer. And I praise you, Father, that she's going to confess before she goes in there that there ain't no cancer on that tumor in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that Michelle gives her everything I told her to tell her. And she's going to. And I thank you, Father, for a blessed testimony in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Lord, I thank you for, oh, what do you call it? Defusing the situation down in Venezuela with the Russians and the Americans and the Venezuelans. And I thank you, Father, that the truth is going to come out. And I praise you, Lord, that Putin's going to see that Venezuela is a corrupt government, he is a cartel, what do you call him, leader. Maduro is. And Father, we thank you for getting things straightened out down there in Jesus' name, that all of the fentanyl trafficking would stop in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Boy, there's a lot going on in the world for nobody to be wanting to pray. Glory to God. Yeah, look at Shoshana. She's over there praising God. All right, girl. There's Elisha. He's praising God. Yeah, Ben, go ahead.
I want to praise the Lord with what he's doing with Niger. At least people are finally starting to respond with what's going on in Nigeria. I'm hearing some things talking about on Twitter and whatnot. I don't know how much of it is true, but Lord Father God, we just want to thank you for opening this up to the media, Father, that people are seeing what's going on in with the Christians in Nigeria. That you're exposing these Muslims and these radical Muslims that are killing my brothers and sisters. And Father God, I just pray that none of this happens ever again with these ministries, and that they can see that they're getting taken care of, and that the people that are going to protect them get over there swiftly, and that there's no fear in going to their fellowship meetings. There's no fear in talking about Jesus, but it's just. They can explain the gospel without any fear of getting killed or anything like that, Father. I pray that you keep scattering those Muslims, that you keep putting fear in them to act on their sort of whatever they need to do. Lord, Father God, I just pray that you put the fear of the true God in them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The head of that, I forget the guy's name, Nigeria, was have putting a speech out that there is no genocide on the ch Christian's part from the Muslim. It's not happening in his country, he said. As he was speaking, 11 Christians were killed. And Trump told him, he said, if you don't get that straightened up real quick, we'll do it.
Oh, I think I saw that actually. Yeah. They're trying to
He's been
cover it up. My
it's
computer's
hard to do
acting.
that. It's hard to
Yeah.
do that. What was it? In the world, there was like 4,600 people killed, or 600 Christians, 4,600 Christians killed. I forget what the time frame was, but in the same time frame, in Nigeria, there was 3,200 killed. So you can see the difference in one country and all the rest of the world. So it's pretty horrendous what they're doing over there. God's fixing it. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, that your angels are in there right now, removing the nasty people that are doing that. There's Anna. Oh my, y'all on the big screen up there? Okay, I've always wanted to be on the big screen. Woohoo! Yep, there we are. Glory to God. Oh my, that's awesome.
We don't look like postage stamps up on that screen, do we?
No, that's a big TV. You better get nice looking, Andrew. Getting your hair all straightened up for the TV. Amen. All right. Anybody else want to Yeah, Missy.
I have a prayer request for my mom. I just did a video call with my mom and my dad, mostly my mom, but she's a week from Friday, she's going in for robotic and laparoscopic surgery on her back. She has a herniated disc. Long story short, that's causing her problems, and they're going to fix that. Exactly what they're going to do, I don't know, but so we just thank you and praise you, Lord, that that's going to go fine, Lord. And Lord, if she really should have somebody there to help her other than my dad, please impress that upon her, Lord. And I told her that if she really wants, me to be there to help out, then just to let me go, let me know. So I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for doing that. I thank you for your mercy and grace, and I thank you, Lord, for my mom and dad putting their trust and faith in you for their healing. Praise you and thank you, Lord, for giving them the gift of faith, Lord. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We rebuke that bad signal that Ben's probably getting in the name of Jesus. We command you to straighten up and be and put him back on here in Jesus' name. We don't take no for an answer either. Put him back on. Thank you, Lord. Oh, there he comes in the back. All right. Anybody else? Lord, I thank you for this wonderful weather that you've given us these last few days, this last today and yesterday, today mostly, and tomorrow's going to be even better. And I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Okay, Missy.
I'd like you all to agree with me. The other day when we were doing leaves, the leaf blower shut off, and then it wouldn't come back on. It did that the other day, but it did come back on after we let it sit for a little bit. We were doing something else, but now, when we went to get it out today, it wouldn't start. So I command that thing to work in the name of Jesus. I command that carburetor be healed or whatever it is, be fixed. To send the angels to fix it for us in the name of Jesus. And also, my stand mixer is not working right. So I
Who's
speak.
that, Merle?
What?
Your hand mixer?
No, my stand mixer.
Oh.
My stand mixer is not working.
What is
Working
that?
right. Well, it's like one of those big KitchenAid things, except mine's a Sunbeam. It's a stand, it's a mixer.
Oh, stand mixer. I thought you said skin mixer. I said, good
No.
gracious. What in the
Stand.
world is she
Stand
mixing up to
mixer.
put on her skin?
So anyway, I thank you, Lord, for restoring both these and them being fixed. And thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I have to repent for like, I'm like, thank you, Lord, for the leaves, but I'm like, Lord, does that mean I have to like it? You know, and I had to repent. I'm like thinking, Lord, is that why our blower is not working right? Is it because I need to repent for complaining? So I repent for complaining.
Amen.
But it was giving us a fit last year too, and we had to have it fixed. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I can receive nothing except it come from you. I love this time of the year. I love blowing leaves and raking leaves. Thank you, Jesus. I'm
Amen.
gonna fake it until I make it.
Amen.
Thank
All
you,
right.
Lord.
Are y'all watching cartoons? Oh man. Amen. Lord, we thank you that Sunbeam skin mixer is completely healed in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody else?
And our leaf blower.
And your what kind of
Leaf
blower? Reef blower?
blower.
Leaf blower, okay.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. That's fixed too.
Amen. Ah, thank you, Jesus. I could hear you clear, Missy. I was just messing with you. Lord, forgive me for messing with Missy. Yeah, there you go. Okay, Julie.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you clear.
I'm looking at everybody else. Okay. Y'all, please agree with me. I have this clock that I've had for, I don't know, 5, 7 years, something like that. And it's a battery operated clock. Well, the battery apparently stopped working, so I replaced the battery and it's still not working. So thank you, Lord, that there's nothing wrong with that clock mechanism. All the dials and the gears and all that stuff in there, they're clean and everything works perfectly. And whatever's hindering it from not working, you have to go in the name of Jesus. I command
Amen.
that clock to run and keep time. And that's a brand new fresh battery, so that's not the problem. So thank you, Lord, for fixing whatever was the problem. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Lord, that my computer keyboard is fixed too, that it won't leave my computer when I turn it off anymore. It just goes out and goes somewhere and don't come back until I holler at it. Yeah. I don't know if y'all ever had that problem, but apparently an update took my remote keyboard out of the picture. I couldn't use it. I could use my own screen, but not the one down here. And I had to go in and uninstall the keyboard in settings. and turn the recycle the power, I need to come back in. I could use it then. But if I turned the computer off, it wouldn't I when I turned it back on, I couldn't use it again. Yeah, it's funny. So what I can sleep. I can let my computer sleep and I can still use it. But if I just let it, if I turn it off, I can't use it. I have to go in there and uninstall the keyboard again. Does anybody know of a fix of that? Hey man, I think I do. I think I found one, but I'm not, I don't have time to do it right now. Anyway, yeah, Julie. You have to unmute before we can hear you.
Okay. Well, this is a little doohickey thing that goes at the USB port for my cordless thing. And this started going bad on me here a few years ago, if you remember me telling you about all that. So I contacted the brand that I bought it from because it was past, the warranty or whatever, and said that this wasn't working. And I had to, keep putting it into different ports. Well, they sent me a new piece. They
Oh,
sent me a
really?
new USB thing, free of charge. Free of charge.
Really?
So I just had to reset the whole thing and reprogram the whole thing, and I haven't had any problems since then. So I'm just wondering maybe if that might be it, Michael, but just a thought.
Well, it could be. I've only got one of those, but it's, I think I got both of them on it. I've got my mouse and my keyboard on it, I think. I think that's
That's how
what
mine
it
works
is.
too. That's how mine works too. It's a joint mouse and keyboard.
Well, I'll check that out tomorrow. Sure will. Thank you, Julie. I wondered about that, but my mouse was working. It's working perfect, but my keyboard wouldn't. And
For me, it was just the
even,
opposite. It was my mouse that wouldn't work. My
oh,
keyboard
really?
would work, but my mouse wouldn't. So it was just the opposite.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anybody else? Lord, I thank you. That's healed in Jesus' name. That USB thing is healed. That transmitter, receiver, ever what it is. It's a receiver, I guess. All right. Something else I wanted to pray about. I'm trying to think here. I should have made notes. Let's see. Yeah, Missy.
How about the government shutdown? Where we just send forth the angels to change the hearts and the minds and work in all the conscience of however many is needed to get the vote to open the government back up in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for doing that. We got holidays coming up, and the TSA and FAA or whatever, air traffic controllers and all that stuff needs to be completely have a complete manpower that it's supposed to have. And we send the angels to immediately work in this that. I saw a little piece of something that somebody was expecting by the end of this week, and others are saying no, but we declare that it will be done by the end of this week. The government will be opened back up in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for doing that. Thank you for your angels doing everything that is necessary to make sure that that does happen in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? I'm gonna lift up my daughter, Allison, also, and I want y'all to believe with me. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command you, Satan, to get your hands off my daughter. Get it off her mind. Get it out of her body. Get out of her body. You take everything that you have brought against her and leave right now in Jesus' name. Take all of the sickness, disease, whatever, all of the pain, insomnia, everything that she has confessed that she has, she ain't got it. I declare and decree that she is free of all hindrances and torments to her body and mind. In Jesus' name, and I command you, Satan, to bow your knees to Jesus and come out of her in the name of Jesus. And I don't mean maybe, I mean right now. I command you to loose yourself from her right now in Jesus' name. And I command complete freedom. I command complete health in every cell in her body. Every tissue, everything in her body be healed in Jesus' name. Everything in her mind be healed and set free in the name of Jesus. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. And I break the power of pharmakia upon her in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that she's got her eyes locked on you, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you minister to her in a way that would be life-changing for her towards you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for granting repentance to her and bringing her in. Satan, I wasn't lying about that. I mean, you get your hands off my daughter right now in Jesus' name. You go from her in the name of Jesus. And if you put your hand on her again, I'm going to send you to hell in Jesus' name. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father. We're going to start seeing a turnaround in her body and her mind tomorrow morning. Even tonight, they're going to start seeing a turnaround in the name of Jesus. How many of you know that we have the authority to do that? We have the Holy Spirit. The one that resurrected Jesus and sat him up there on the throne at the right hand of the Father. In amongst us, all of us that are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Satan, you have to listen when we speak. And I don't mean maybe. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Anybody else got a prayer request or would like to pray? That's right. And obey the word in us. Glory be to God. That is exactly right. You have to obey. You have to bow your knees to Jesus like every enemy of his has to do. In Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Whew, I thank you, Lord. It's done. Allison, you're free now. Start confessing it. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Ben.
I just want to pray over the workplace that I'm in because it's kind of put into a rush mode to get ready because it's a school, so they're trying to keep schedule for the next year or whatever, so they're kind of rushing it all so they can meet some kind of deadline, and that's sort of button heads working over each other, you know. And I just want to rebuke any spirits of anger. I want to rebuke any spirit of disorganization. Any impatience out of all the colleagues that are working in the job site, Father. Lord, Father God, let us all just work patiently and quietly and do the job that we need to do. Let all the material fit into the holes that they need to fit into. Let all the walls stay strong and hold, and that all the equipment that's being put in, that it works properly, that everything runs smoothly, and all the people get along so that that the job gets done, Father. We thank you so much for doing that, for watching over the job site that I'm in. In Jesus' name, amen.
How come you can't hear me? Oh, my. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to God. Did you see Joe's chat? Joe, if it's steam coming off of it, don't put your finger down in it. It'll burn. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No burn marks. Praise God. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Nick. How's it going, buddy?
Good. I just wanted to ask for safe travels home tomorrow.
Okay. Well, Lord, we thank you that they're going to stay for another week. And we pray, Lord, that you would give them safe travels home. They won't have any problems, no traffic problems, no car or vehicle problems, and they're going to get good gas mileage when they get after they get home. They're going to realize how good a gas mileage they got in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Anita and Nick, getting them home safely. Oh, and did you say your daughter was with you, or is she gone back?
No, she just landed in India. So praise the Lord.
Oh, okay.
Safely.
Okay. Is she going to ride an elephant while she's there?
She's planning on it, yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. I'd love to ride an elephant. I bet that saddle's big, isn't
Yeah,
it?
it is. It's actually the it wasn't a saddle, it was a big square wooden platform we sat on.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen pictures of those. Yeah. That's awesome. I've ridden on camels, but I've never ridden on an elephant. I don't know if I really want to. All right. Anyone else? We have certainly enjoyed y'all's visit here. We have. We really have. It's good to see you, Nick. Always good to see you, buddy. They came in while we was having fellowship last night, and people went to grabbing for their guns. They thought somebody was fixing to break in the house. No, I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding. No, they came in. Well, I guess it was kind of toward the end, wasn't it, Vanita?
Yeah, we got in at 9:30. It was right at the
Yeah.
end. Nobody
Yeah,
knew we were coming, so it was a surprise. So
it was. It was. I knew you were coming, but I'd forgotten that y'all were coming, anytime soon. Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, Matt, Nick, did you like Fort Loudoun? Did y'all go out to the fort?
yeah.
Okay.
It's so
Did they shoot?
beautiful out there.
It is. Did they shoot the cannon for you?
No.
Oh, man.
Boys pretended, but
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I like to go out there myself. Missy, when she comes down, she goes out Fort Loudoun and walks too sometime. Okay. Anybody else got something they want to talk about? Somebody tell me if nobody's got anything. I got a question. I have a question. I was listening to a guy speaking about not speaking about it, but praying that the baptism of the fire. You remember when John said that I baptized you with water, but there's one coming that's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. What's the fire he's talking about? Yeah, one of y'all, either one of y'all can go.
Would it not be the Holy Spirit?
The fire of the Holy Spirit would be about the Holy Spirit, yeah. But what's it for?
That is not my word a consuming fire?
Yes, his word is a consuming fire.
If you're going to walk in the fear of the Lord, then you're going to walk in the wisdom.
Yes.
And you're going to walk in knowledge. And you're going to walk in the understanding. And you're going to walk in the teaching. And you're going to walk in the strength of the Lord. And you're going to walk in Christ Jesus. And God the Father said, I'm going to dwell in them and walk. So you better hold his hand. And that's quite a good walking, you know. When we have authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, treading is walking, you know. So praise and glory to God.
Amen. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
The first thing that came to my mind was the three Hebrew children in the fire with Daniel. I mean, with Jesus.
Yep.
And, and I guess I was thinking baptized in the Holy Spirit and in fire, is that baptism of burning away the flesh? You know, when those Hebrew children entered into that fire, they thought they were dead men, you know. Well, in order to walk, be willing to be tossed into the fire, instead of recanting their faith, they were dead men. They were already dead men. But when they went into that fire burnt off any remaining vestige of an old man. You know, I'd like to hear stories of what happened with their life and the power that came upon them as a result of coming out of that fire. You know, and, you know, just the absolute fearlessness that would have been permeating their awareness. There was absolutely no fear of dying left in them whatsoever. You know, once you've been through the fire seven times hotter. And so anyway, I think that's what I think of the baptism, not only of the Holy Spirit, but of fire that finally burns off that old carnal perspective and sets you single focus and focused upon the Lord and upon the voice of the Lord and walking in the fear of the Lord. And so anyway, that's kind of what I was thinking.
If I'm not mistaken, what was the first thing that would burn off of them?
The bonds.
Yeah. They were broke free when they were burnt free. Praise God. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I agree 100% with what Pat was saying, but what came to my mind was refiner's fire, which is what he described, you know, but that's just the terminology that came to my mind was, you know, being baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire. refiner's fire.
Amen. Refiner fire does what? It refines you to look like Jesus. It burns away the doubt and the unbelief. It burns away the wrong talking. It burns away confessions that were wrong. It burns away all everything that hinders your walk. Praise God for the fire of the Holy Ghost. That's where revival comes, because of fire. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I was thinking of the refiner's fire, of course, is a slower process that, allows the impurities to rise to the surface so that you can see them. And which obviously requires that you do something about it, scoop that stuff off and get rid of it, type of thing, in order to so it, that's it's kind of a longer process, kind of, to me, explains more of the sanctification process. But that process of that, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through, I think that was definitely a refiner's fire. There's no doubt. There's no doubt about that. But it was a little substantially quicker, which maybe, has something to say about, that's what's going to happen in this last 7 years, where we have been prepared for that process, and that 7 year process is going to be a bit of a quicker scenario than simply that longer sanctification process. Though, those that have gone through this process, and the nice thing about it is that you have a tendency to knock out the details, through obviously through success and failure, mostly failure until you hit the success portion of it. So the offset is, quite a few ways that don't work and the way that does work. And so you can kind of recognize in other people some of those symptoms of the ways that don't work, and you don't have to guess as to the solution, so to speak. So because of that, I believe that this later, former and latter rain coming at the same time is going to not only, shall we say, burn off the final vestiges of this old man in those that are prepared to go through that pro to I'm going to say lead through that process, but also those that are coming in, being born again and brought into the kingdom, I think they will be more effectively led through the right steps and be able to pick this, walking with the Lord, in the Lord, in a much quicker fashion than, some of us people that have, taken 40 years or 50 years at this thing. So to me, it's exciting in two ways that are it's coming at us. There's going to be, I think God's going to pour out wisdom and His Spirit upon people. They're going to be really willing and ready to receive, and there's going to be people that are prepared to provide and allow the Lord to minister to people's hearts through this process coming up. So praise the Lord. We are in an exciting time. That's all there is to it. Scary but exciting.
Yeah. It is. Anybody else? On the holy fire. Yeah, Missy.
I like to pray over the whatever elections are going on today, this finishing up this evening or whatever.
All
We
right, go
just
ahead.
send forth the angels to keep there from being any election fraud, people voting that shouldn't be voting, illegals voting, so on and so forth. Whatever you got to do, this is going to be a fair election. In Jesus' name, we thank
Amen.
you, Lord, that the ones that you want to be elected will be elected. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's not going to be ma'am, damn, nay, whatever his name is. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I've kind of kept quiet, I guess, about this because I'm not really sure. But if this Mondami, I think I'm pronouncing his word, his name correctly, wins the election, it could, it very well could be the motivation that God is providing for people to exodus out of that city. And I haven't, I've kind of been stuck between, two scenarios there as far as prayer, because there's nothing like a good or a socialist government, and in order to destroy economies, and the destruction of, let's just say, the destruction of the rich, which eliminates any motivation for businesses and to stay in that type of environment, and they start moving out. And there's an exodus. My wife has a saying that she, I don't know if she picked it up or made it up or whatever, but she said, I never got a job from a poor man. And the whole
Who said that?
mentality of my wife.
Oh, that's good.
The temporary people that are ignorant in regards to human nature would or even history for that matter, when the founding of our country in what, 1620, when I think it was a Johnstown or first settlement, one of the first settlements, they literally about starved to death because the first winter, because once they got here, they started in more of a communal socialistic type of process where everybody would go out into the fields and work, or and whatever came in, it got divvied up and everybody got it. And so I got the same. And of course, that works when you have a spirit of trust and confidence in the Lord's supply, and everybody is, locked in on the Lord, and that benevolence and common purse thing it takes hold, because it the spirit of God is in that process. But when you have regenerate individuals, who are not into giving, giving you shall receive, they are into take and I will, take type thing. It doesn't work. And in order to, so that little experiment of socialism in our, the first seeds of our, people coming in, starting this country, basically, that changed the following year. They allowed everybody to, plant crops and whatever, and sell the excess resources to provide for others, etc. And they started the free market system, or whatever you want to call it. And the environment and the culture and everything grew from that. So it was a quick experiment on socialism right there at the beginning of our history, which proved that it doesn't work, and but there's always, they basically, the interesting thing about it is that the socialist communist mindset does not know how to create wealth. They only know how to redistribute what wealth is there. And when you have somebody like Trump that has come into power now, he well understands how you create wealth. Plus, I think the communist socialist mentality, they believe that there is only a certain amount of wealth available in the world. That's their frame of reference. There's only a certain amount of wealth available. And so the only thing that you can do is divvy it up. But there isn't the again, the awareness or the perspective that you can actually create wealth. You can multiply wealth. Anyway, I don't mean to get into that whole thing, but and so what is happening in New York? You have, you don't know how much cheating or how much of, the our whole voting system now is so screwed up because it's intermingled with all kinds of potential, ways to cheat and everything like that. You don't really know what the mindset of the people is in New York City. But if this guy gets in, number one, you can be guaranteed he's not going to be calling the shots. He's just a figurehead of a whole organization that put him into that place, and they're going to be calling the shots, and just like it was in the Biden administration. So if this thing goes south, then I would think that there is going to be an exodus out of that city in some form or another, which I think there already has been. But I think this is kind of the final nail in the coffin, is what it looks like to me. But anyway, and I look at it as potentially a mercy of God to get people out of that city for the destruction that's coming, So anyway, I'm through rattling. So
Well,
I
you
meant
see,
that it's hard to know how to pray, how to pray in relation to that,
oh, it's not to me. Lord, I thank you that Mom Donnie's not getting in there, and you're going to have somebody with some sense up there. More sense. It doesn't look like it got much of a selection, but I don't know anything about the Republican guy. I know a lot about Cuomo, and he hasn't been very successful as a governor either. Or, I'm sorry, mayor. So, what is the name of that movie? Stupid and Stupider.
Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, Dumb and Dumber. I see it. Okay. Okay. But what really strikes me is all of those people in that city voting that guy in there. There's got to be somebody up there in New York with some sense. Why couldn't they put somebody in there that has a little more character, that has run businesses before, and can do a good job with? What happened? Remember, who was the last good one they had? Rudy Giuliani, wasn't it? It was Rudy Giuliani. He had a great government. They prospered. The crime was way down, and it's gone right back up. Right back up. So that's just a prime example of what happens when you put people of socialistic attitudes, and it sounds good to the people that don't know. It sounds good, you know. Going to give you free groceries, going to give you this, going to give you that, going to hand out everything to you, and you're going to be, they don't know it, but you're going to be controlled and what have you. By the way, something we need to pray against is at Jamaica. They're already talking about putting up those, what kind of cities are those? Control cities?
Smart cities.
Smart cities, yeah, smart cities out there where they had all that devastation from the hurricane. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we come against that. And we ask, Father, that you just take that out of their minds, take their money away from them, and put people, give that money to the people to build their houses back. In Jesus' name. And I praise you and I thank you for doing that there and in Hawaii too, Lord, where they've already had that stuff going on. And also out in California as well, Lord. Everywhere they got that stuff going, Lord, I ask that you pull it down and give the money to the people themselves. It's even in North Carolina too. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. All right, anybody else got anything I'd like to pray about or talk about? Russia's fixing to send a bunch of high-powered missiles over to Venezuela. Going to prop up their defenses over there and their offenses, I should say. And guess what? It puts them in just a few seconds away, as far as the missile speed goes, to the US. So if I get to do that, you remember last time somebody tried that? Does anybody remember the last time somebody tried that? Surely you do. Yeah, I know Missy knows. She knows everything there is to know about everything there is to know about.
I'm sorry, what was the question? What was the question, Michael?
The last time that Russia tried to put missiles within shot of the continental United States,
Oh, it wasn't that long ago.
back in the 60s. Yeah, Missy, go ahead. I know you, I probably figured you knew.
Mentioned it this morning, I believe. The Cuban
Did you?
Missile Crisis.
Yeah. Yeah. When I read that about the Russians doing that, I said, that sounds like JFK and the Cuban Missile Crisis. I believe that was in 62, 61, 62. Yeah. Okay.
Who is the leader of Russia at that time?
Khrushchev. What was his first name? It wasn't Tom.
Nikita.
Yeah, it's Nick.
Tom.
It's
It was Tom
Nick.
Khrushchev.
Tom Khrushchev. It was Nick Khrushchev. You get
Nikita.
that, Nick? I was messing with Nick. Yeah. Nikita Khrushchev, the man with the at NATO that banged his shoe on the table. Y'all probably don't remember that either. Anyway, Lord, we thank you that your will be done, Lord, in the earth. In Jesus' name, your will be done. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I know we got to have a war, some in the first little bit of the tribulation. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Do you think we're in the place? You remember whose dream was that? I don't know if it was Michael Boldea's dream with the eagle that flew down in the, and no, maybe I miss. I might be. Well, there's two dreams. They're really close to the same. One is the vision of George Washington, but I was thinking of the eagle dream, and the third one, the third attack was the eagle was out in the field. I think the last one, he was out in the field, and a brown snake come up and hit him on the right wing or something, if I'm not mistaken, latched onto him, and that was the death, the one that killed him.
Go ahead, Anne. What? Who was it?
I'm pretty sure that was Dimitri Dudeman, wasn't it?
That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
So it's close
It
enough. Michael
was in the
Boudet's.
family.
Yeah, it was in the family.
So I wonder if we're at that place, is what I'm
Could be.
wondering.
Yeah, Andrew.
The 7 years are for something, and I'd like to just poise a verse that the Lord loves justice and hates robbery with iniquity. Little children sometimes get robbed because they're told, well, they're teaching them stuff in school today that I never had to be taught that in school because we didn't have that back then, where there's more than two genders. Anyway, so you see, the robbery with iniquity is something that's inputted to an innocent person. Then that's something we can pray against. What does he say about having good fellowship with good people?
Yeah.
Loving God and loving your brothers. So, this robbery with iniquity has several different facets to it, and of course, we're not anxious about our maturing in the Lord too, because he takes care of that. I think that's in chapter 6 of Matthew for the anxiety. Anyway, so this robbery with iniquity is something that you can just think about it for a while, and how many different times it happened, and how many different times it even happened in the Bible. They disobeyed God, and Babylon was raised up, and of course you still had the prophet and his three friends that stood against the robbery and the iniquity, and was agreeing with the love of God's justice, their father's justice, you know. And because, you know, even though they had to go through this Babylon thing too, so there is an MO to these principalities from the time of Babylon to this iron and clay today. But like you have to really have to know how to pray the way the Lord wants you to pray, because regardless of what happens, he still is going to come against the robbery with iniquity. And even if the tribulation and the great tribulation come, just like there was turbulent times for the people in the book of Acts, and as we even prayed about some of the things in some of the areas of the world, that there's tribulation to God's people, but it's still a robbery with iniquity. You know, like, will some of these kidnapped people be standing for Christ, you know? And will they not give in? And of course, will God show himself through some of these items too, you know? We've had some experience with that too, also with some people we know in certain areas of the world. And so I'm just putting that forward as to maybe help people on how to pray these things, though we know what's going to come to pass. You know, we still stand for the kingdom we're part of, and we want to love justice the way our Father loves justice too, and to come against the robbery with iniquity. You know, we know that, for instance, that we're in the last of the days, according to Peter, the Apostle Peter, chapter 3. And we know that a different, you know, chapter 2 talks about teaching and prophecy. So we know there's a different thing there also that is happening today. So it's not that we come against the robbery with iniquity. We want to love justice also. And of course, you know, there has to be mercy too. For instance, Jesus gave mercy to the woman caught in the very act, because God was proving who Jesus was. You know, he's going to save this woman from being stoned to death, and he moves the soil with his finger, and this caused God's sovereignty to move to control all these people to draw up their rocks. And of course, the robbery and the iniquity there was this woman's lifestyle that was changed. So this is what we also want. You know, we pray against these things because we have authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. We are children of light, and we know that we walk in the light, and we know that there is a light given to the church, which is a corporate light, a corporate candlestick, and it's also an individual candlestick. So we feed off that corporate candlestick to grow in the Lord as much as Jesus would give us, and the Father and the Holy Spirit to light up and ignite ourselves in this. And so I was just wondering, we were talking about the fire earlier. We didn't have any discussion about the tongues of fire that these disciples received, you know. So I was kind of hoping to hear something on that, you know. And if someone has a tongue that's a consuming fire, and there's tongues of fire given, and we make petitions of the Lord, so are we not petitioning on behalf of things that would be justice and against robbery with iniquity? So that's the way I'll put that, so that you could come to the conclusion that the Father would give you, because I don't want to convey things that might be beyond some people, because even a child has this through the parents, even, you know, to pray these things. And so that's my thinking on this. This is just comments of me commenting on these things, hopefully making us, or making the Lord more capable, working through us by grace to have these things come to pass. That's really careful, because you know, sometimes people speak too quickly, and the point you're trying to get across is supposed to give glory to God and glory to the presence of the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit in you. And that's very important, that we don't try to take any glory for ourselves, you know. And the maturing in us has to be accomplished by the sovereignty of God, you know. And we are to operate in that spirit of grace. That's why we always ask and seek and knock, and you know, to intercede. We see in lots of intercession, you know, in the book of Acts, when they interceded for the time they were in prison, when they were even beaten and not to speak in his name. So, you know, Paul and not Paul, but Peter and John. And of course, they obeyed God. They even said that, you know, after they were beaten, they said, who should we obey, God or man? So anyways, it's something we have to continue in keeping our Christ on, and of course the armor of God on, and it's all the Lord anyway, because he has to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that teaches us all things in his name, and to remind us of everything he taught us anyway. So it's hopefully this is instilling some warfare ideas and stuff of how we should behave in this wonderful authority that we were given to walk in. It's unfathomable on just how much power there is there. You know, we need to know how to use it. We need to be with the Lord with these things, and we need to be fair. You know, it's a little bit weirder today, because we have people that have been exposed to the word for over 1,000 years in most of the cultures of Europe anyway. And, you know, they went out all over the world and they brought the scriptures everywhere. And I just think that sometimes people forget that there is a kingdom that we belong to that has to be first. And at first it is. Even when we're not really thinking that it's first all the time, and that's a lack of maturity, maybe, is the best way to put it, a dissimulation even, for the way it happened with Peter, you know. So there's some really good stuff in the Word to look at, you know. There's a dissimulation there with some of the people when they started and the Gentiles were starting to receive. So, you know, there was some Pharisees there that spoke their own things. And there's just a lot of words out there. I pray the Lord Lord keep us in His word, in His the water of the Spirit of His word, and to overcome and to keep us in the blood as good witnesses, and of course in this Holy Spirit of God. He that calleth you is holy, be therefore holy in all your behavior. So praise and glory to God, and I hope to hear something about these tongues of fire. And I don't even know if I used a bit of it right now, but I hope I did. Praise and glory to God for it. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's keep talking about the tongues of fire. Anybody got any revelations concerning that? I do, but I'm going to let y'all do it. Not that I know, but I got a real good idea. Yeah, Pat.
I was reading something else, but the tongues of fire, and we're going to relate it back to the fire in Daniel that took the three Hebrew children and destroyed their bonds and removed from them all fear of death. And I'm going to say, released their tongue to speak in unity with the Lord. In total unity, allowing the Lord to speak through them. And I guess that's what I'm thinking of, tongues of fire is released from the bondage of this earthly perspective. So I'll let Ben sit.
Yeah, okay, Ben, go ahead.
Well, what I kind of think about is at that certain sort of example, I guess we can go off of with this tongue of fire. Obviously, I agree with what Pat is saying. It's God's word, life, spirit flowing through them. And then obviously, we, as we were talking about before, we sort of connected this fire with the burning of the flesh, the dying of the old man, our cross. Notice how the fire went out of them, and then a bunch of people got saved. So this fire went out of them, through them. Maybe the people didn't understand them. Some of them did. But it sort of carried on that fire of burning the flesh, opening people's eyes to see God, get a revelation of God, get some sort of knowledge of God, whether it be faith or whatever, at that moment. And it was opening for them. And that fire just consumed that level of flesh that it took from them. And that's what I'm thinking about. It applied itself to people's soul rather than just within the person that was speaking, but it went outward and it gave life. That's what I see.
Okay. Well, the fire of the word burns the flesh, doesn't it? Anyone else? Yeah, Nick.
I just had a praise report. My sister made it safely to India.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for the elephant ride coming. Amen. That'll probably be more fun than that airplane.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, thank you, Lord, that she made it safely. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Nick, for letting us know. Okay. Anybody else? On a tongues of fire. And a burn of flesh. Yeah, Julie.
Okay. I was thinking of the tongues of fire. I mean, in the book of Acts, there appeared to them tongues of fire. They saw them. And then they all started speaking in tongues, right?
Yep.
And in James, it talks about, can I just read a couple verses there in James? Yes. Can I read a couple verses in James, Michael?
Yes, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to distract you or something. James 3:5. So the tongue also is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how much wood is kindled by how small a fire. And the tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity among our members is the tongue, which defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the will of nature and set on fire by hell. And is set on fire by hell. So it's like, I was thinking that it's like we have to be able to control our tongue. And if we're controlling our tongue, then it's not defiling the whole body. But the tongues, the Holy Spirit tongues, isn't it? That's supposed to be like to burn up the flesh, to burn up the, when we pray in tongues, is to help us overcome the flesh and that kind of thing, that we're doing that in the place of using our carnal mind and our tongues to get us in trouble. I guess that's what I was thinking. Amen.
Amen. It sure is. Yeah, Andrew.
No, I thought maybe she was going to go down where it says it's a blessing and a cursing. So let's just speak the blessings, and you know, like would we not want to operate in those nine blessings that are in the book of Matthew? A blessing is you know, you want the Lord, you want your soul to bless the Lord. You know, there's a song, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name. And of course, we were all originally kind of baptized into the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. You know, and it's hallowed be thy name, the name called the Word of God. If any love me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. And we abide in that abode. So we're in this name of the Lord, and it's a powerful name we have. And it includes the Father walking in us, and of course his Son too. And of course it gives us some authority here. We want to examine the boldness that we need to have with example in scripture, and with our own example that might come on us when we need it in the future. You know, if a person who comes to you and he's not filled with the Holy Spirit, but he's speaking, as it says in the book of Acts, he's speaking with the baptism of John the Baptist, and yet he's still confounded the Jews at that time with just what he was baptized with. You know, what sort of baptism do we have, you know, considering that his baptism was the one of a wonderful prophet who announced Jesus is coming. And when he learned more on this, he expounded even greater and was even better at his job. And he was encouraged to speak. And not only that, he was also encouraged that the brethren sent letters for him to be received in whatever city he would go to. This eloquent speaker from Alexandria. And so we have tongues, yes, but we have tongues of five words you should want to speak that are discernible in the English language, you know, or whatever language you speak. So praise and glory to God for that. And she read about the consuming fire in a negative way, but there is a consuming fire the other way too. And that's why I just wanted to mention that, because I didn't want to close in on that. In other words, it's a blessing too to speak these things. People have this fruit in their soul, and why is it that we hesitate to share? Could it be because of the great consuming darkness that's out there, which we have authority over? Or is it because we don't have experience with these things? And to have experience on how to be a witness, you know, of course the apostles had experience. They were sent forth, you know, and we need that witness even to be sent forth from the lowest member of Christ's, from the least to the greatest of them in this heart and mind where God writes his word there on us, this new covenant we have, you know, it's instilled within us. It's in our heart. He writes it there, and it's in our mind to operate in that new covenant, to operate in this salvation, this clothing of Christ that we have on us. And from 30 to 100-fold fruit. It's that's the way it was, and that's the way it's going to be. And we need to depend upon the Lord for all of this. So the consume is not my word, a consuming fire. We get to walk in the light. We get to walk in the blood. You know, like if we're walking in this Christ Jesus, like it says in the second chapter of Colossians, we get to walk in the Lord. We get to walk with the Almighty God, the Father. As it says, you know, where I will dwell in them and walk and be their God. You know, and we get to dwell in that wonderful place where God is our workmanship, created in Christ Jesus upon good works, which God prepared that we should walk in them. We walk in an authority where we need to have experience to walk in that. And don't say you didn't experience anything, because that's just a blocking, you know, like, come on, people, now, you know, smile on your brothers, get together one another. Gonna love one another right now. And so, you know, the expression of love toward God and the expression of love toward the brethren, well, who are we loving but that Spirit of God that dwells in his people? You know, no matter where they're at, you know, we have young people who need the Lord as much as the old people do. It's quite profound on what the Lord has given us, and I just want my brothers and sisters to be encouraged to walk in this new nature, character, and authority that we have, you know, to experience all we can in the Lord for us to, it's a short time. What else are we going to do? You know, what else are we going to do? And we pray, and we have to pray with the fire too, I guess, right? We pray up a consuming fire, and we take a boldness step when we have to take our boldness step. When it's actually set before, when it was actually set before Peter, who's thrown in jail, he had to do what he had to do, you know. Yeah, so, but it's still all glory to God, you know. Anyway, praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Yeah, Debbie, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, sorry. That's part of it. I was wondering about, if I take it down a notch from what you guys, the same subject, what's been talked about, take it down some, but so I've always thought, and you see in pictures that the tongues were sitting upon their, on their heads, the tongue of the fire. They always showed them in a room. I've always seen in a big room. They're sitting in a room. But I was reading how it's a little bit ago in Acts 2. It says they were gathered together in one place. And when they heard that the others heard what was going on, they went to them and said, how can you be doing this? How are they speaking our languages, you know? And I'm wondering if the tongues of fire were still on their, they must have stayed up over them on their heads when the people came together to witness it. And so it's like that the tongue of fire was an undeniable sign, because then they were told what it was. He mentioned Joel, and Peter mentioned, was it Peter? Mentioned Joel to them all. And so it was like an undeniable sign of what he was telling them, what it was. And they see that tongue of fire on their head. So I imagine all the people are witnessing that, not just hearing them, but witnessing the tongue of fire in their heads. So just love that. I thought that's a pretty undeniable sign, all right? So maybe that was the reason for the tongue of fire, just to be undeniable to the people, the truth of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. So just my thoughts.
Yeah, amen. Go ahead, Andrew. I knew I was getting something.
You know, like I've seen these paintings and pictures, you know, but was it an actual tongue of fire that was there? Something like a flame of fire that they actually saw?
That's what I wonder, too. But if it was, that'd be something undeniable. Something undeniable. Yeah.
Well, don't you think they saw in the spirit that spiritual fire that went around? That's what I'm thinking it was. Just like last night, Debbie, we saw the angels up there. You know, I saw the angels boogieing with us while we were, well, dancing. They were all dancing with one another while we were singing those first few songs.
Yeah. But yeah. That's us. All those other people standing around were not in the spirit of God. How would they see it that physically, if there was something, see in the spirit, I mean, how would they see in the spirit? So I don't know. Maybe just not. It's interesting how God would use them to be visible, really visible, his physical sign.
Yeah.
Totally undeniable what he was giving them, but anyway.
I don't know. That's a good subject. Go ahead, Pat. Pat's got the answer.
Well, I was just reading the verse, and it just and suddenly there came from heaven a sound of rushing, of the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were all sitting, and there appeared unto them tongues parting asunder like as of fire, and it set upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So it said, woo, and there appeared unto them tongues parting asunder. And it sat upon each one. So it was visible to at least the people in the room. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues.
Yes. Glory to God.
So I was reading there in is so just like history repeats, what does that time, because if you think about just that Pentecost experience, you know, I'm going to say most of us have been baptized in the Spirit and have spoken with tongues. But what happened here is because what were the results? The results, you know, one of the results is that Peter went out into the street and spoke with that same tongue, like what, you know, Ben and Andrew have been talking about. They were speaking with these tongues of fire, and 3,000 people got saved. You know, it was so there's something a little more intense, I'm going to say, than what, let's just say, the majority in the room here had experienced. Not that it wasn't real or anything like that, but look at the magnitude difference here and what happened, you know, and the ruckus that was caused. Now, obviously, you have to put this in a different time perspective too, because, you know, there was a feast going on, or, you know, they had the holidays, basically, and a lot of people in Jerusalem, and you know, but think about it, you know, Peter went out in the street, these disciples went out into the street and literally turned the city upside down on its head. And then they were, you know, what, the next day or whenever, went to the temple and healed, you know, somebody sitting at the temple, and all hell broke loose. And they threatened, you know, took him in and beat him and threatened to kill him. Don't speak in the name of Jesus anymore. And they threw him in jail, and God pulled him out of jail. I mean, there were some miraculous things happening in that time. So I guess what I'm thinking, you know, is what is the repeating parallel that we should be expecting in our time? Is that the latter rain, or the former and latter rain being poured out at the same time, or whatever? I'm just thinking, because, you know, there was a whether it be these tongues of fire which appeared over each one of them, had the same magnitude of power which that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego experienced, that when they came out, they were boldly speaking, and I'm sure that they were not afraid of anything, and they spoke whatever they wanted to speak. You know, so I'm just thinking, you know, what is the parallel repetition in history that we should be expecting, you know? And then, you know, just to end on that, I went back to Ezekiel 36 and verse 37. That whole chapter in chapter 36 is good, because it's basically a repetition of, you know, the children of Israel, or the nation of Israel, turning away from God and being a rebuke to the nation and basically dragging God's name through the mud, you know, because of their life and their actions and everything. And at the end of that, he mentioned something which I just now caught when I was reading it. In their defiling of their way and etc. I'm just spinning here trying to find it. Where he says, I'm not good at strip, but in verse 32, he says, you know, basically after this whole process and God is coming back to save his own name, basically. And he says, not for your sake do I do this, saith the Lord Jehovah. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, in the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquity. And that just that point that, you know, the Lord kind of showed me the difference between sin and iniquity, sins and iniquity. You know, the one is the environment, the iniquity is the environment that allows sin to grow if germinated. And then sins are those actions committed which need to be forgiven and cleansed, which need to be forgiven. But iniquity can't be forgiven because it hasn't been committed. It's an internal environment that needs to be cleansed. And I think it is those tongue of that fire of God's word, in whatever form or whatever process it happens, comes in and cleanses that environment of iniquity within us, that old man being manifest, I won't say manifestly, but crucified. As he was crucified 2,000 years in reality in Christ, it is manifested in reality within those of us living in Christ today. And that iniquity is cleansed and eliminated within. And I think that like a anchor holding a ship down, that anchor is cut loose and that ship is able to flow freely, or you know, fly down the road type thing. You know, it wouldn't be a road on a ship, but the point being, it's there's a release there. And I think that's what happened at Pentecost. There was a massive release of people's lives in the spirit and the power of the spirit, releasing them and cleansing them from that inner, or at least separating them from that inner iniquity that tended to hold them back. But anyway, that was just a thought. The end of that, of course, the end of that Ezekiel chapter 36 is in verse 37, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, for this, moreover, will I be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. So there's something there, at least in these verses and in this description, that God is requiring a response or a proactive approach from his people in order to do this, in order to cut him loose to do this for us. So I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. So anyway, I'll shut
No,
up.
you're making a lot of sense. Praise God. Yeah, I thought about the anointing also. All right, anyone else? Jenny, you had your hand up a while ago. Did you have something you wanted to add?
Just what we were talking about before, about how in Acts 2, that in verse 3, it says that there appeared unto them tongues parting asunder like as a fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And then they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I think it was a vision. God allowed them to see it as a vision. I don't know that they all saw it in that room, but it was seen to the point where it was documented, right? But I don't think that the Jews later, they didn't see it. They only heard what they heard, them speaking in their own language. Their languages. They didn't see the tongues of fire. They just heard it because they thought they were all drunk with wine. They didn't get to see the vision, but they heard the manifestation of the power of the Spirit. That's all I was just thinking about. According to the scriptures, that's how I see it. Visions. That's it. There would be visions, right? That's what they saw. Pretty neat. I want to see that kind of thing too.
Absolutely.
Visions of tongues of fire as we all pray the Spirit.
I'm not only want to see it, I want to experience it.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, the former and latter rain. But I want to see the, what God's going to do. I want to see it. I want to be part of it, manifest it, and see, like, being in the room with y'all and praying in the Spirit and see tongues of fire and anything else the Lord wants to, show us during that kind of thing. Praise God. Amen.
Amen. I think it was a combination of everything that we've talked about tonight as far as the tongues of fire. Yeah, Missy.
How about this part in Acts 2? It's an interesting part. And the reason I bring it up is because the Lord showed Brandon something about this.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, and it's very interesting. Okay. Acts 2, let me figure out. I'm sorry here. Okay, Acts 2:14, I'm going to start there. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spake forth unto them, saying, You men of Judea, all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and give ear unto my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which has been spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, says the Lord, I will pour forth my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your young men shall dream dreams. Yea, and all my servants and all my handmaids in those days will I pour forth my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now this is the interesting part. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord come, that great and notable day. And it shall be that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
And your point is?
He talks about those signs in the heavens.
Yep.
And it's very soon.
Well, that's... Jesus said that signs and wonders would follow those.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to bring on people coming into the kingdom.
But he's talking about the signs on the earth and wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord come, that great and noble day. He talks about that, and it's very, very interesting what the Lord showed him. And the way it sounds.
What were you trying to say that it means?
Well, it sounds to me from what Brandon is saying that this is it's gonna shake a lot of people up. Everybody, it's gonna be the sign of the Lord coming, but I don't think it's the sign of the Lord that everybody's thinking. It's his coming in the man child, I think, is what it is.
Yep.
And the pouring out of the spirit.
That's where the revival's coming from, the man child and the bride, mm-hmm. this time ahead. Absolutely. That's that latter rain anointing with signs and wonders following. Yeah, Julie.
You think the somewhat of a revival we're having right now, you know, like the John the Baptist and all these baptisms and people turning to the Lord and all these things that are happening, that's still a revival, but it's not like what's going to happen. It's these are people that are getting, that are repenting. They are getting stirred up and they are, you know, but what you're talking about and what Missy read, you know, and what's coming with the, when the Lord comes, you asked me pretty well. It's that's when everything starts, and there's, you know, we got 7 years left. That's it. You know, when you think about it right now, we have 7+ years. You know, that's the kind of mindset I've been trying to have, is we only have 7+ years. That plus could be a day to a year to 2 years, you know, in addition to, it's very short. And we have to live, what is that? Corinthians, I guessing. We're live like we have, you know, we own nothing, and that we, you know, we're not, we have no dealings with the world, and, you know, our minds are supposed to be looking for, you know, the coming of the Lord, and that when he comes, you know, will he find faith on the earth, and what will we be doing, you know, when he does come? It's just how short time really is. And I know we've been talking about this a long time, and for this, boy, everything is sure lining up, really, in a lot of ways. Everything's mm-hmm. lining up for it to happen anytime. So if only, when you think about, we could only have 7 years and, you know, a few weeks, months, maybe a year or two, you know, if the Lord tarries, you know, with the man child, that's not long.
Was it a sign and a wonder? I forget which Ivy League school it was here just a few days ago. Had a bunch of kids baptized. Came into the kingdom.
A lot of stuff happening in Tennessee.
Well, in Tennessee, yeah. And also in Arkansas, a high school filled a football field with thousands of kids praising the Lord. I mean, we're having a revival now, praise God. That's a sign and a wonder right there. Praise God. Yeah, absolutely. And Lord, I pray that the dead religions would stay out of it in Jesus' name, that they would all be filled with the Holy Spirit and carry this gospel throughout the world. Thank you, Father, for lighting a fire in these young people. In Jesus' name, amen. When I heard about the Ivy League school, I like fell out. I said, no, can't be. So they're not listening to the professors. They're listening to the word. Go ahead, Andrew. Yeah, amen. The false revival churches.
There's Hosea. Chapter 6, you know, the...
There's what?
Hosea chapter 6. You know, the last three verses in chapter 5. The first four verses of Hosea chapter 6, you know. And it speaks of the rain and the latter rain that watereth the earth, you know. And, you know, after 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will, you know, so many wills here, you know. And, you know, when you look at that new covenant verse in Hebrews talking about, I will put my laws in their mind, and I will put my laws upon their hearts, you know. And this is the revival on how the Lord wills it and does it in his name for us, for his name's sake, you know. We want to be mature for that, you know. Praise God, you know. And it's just, you know, he has torn and he'll heal us, you know. Some of us went through some pretty bad stuff, and you know, we're dependent really much so on the Lord, you know. And you know, in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, you get to see what the way Paul was. You know, he had a different breath in 9 and 1, and then he was changed, you know. And of course, the whole church started to walk in the fear of the Lord. And it's such a good verse there. I think it's 31, and how they were edified and built up in the Holy Spirit and walking in the fear of God. And of course, this is something, in the times of the book of Acts, you know, we were taught about that, on how it's going to parallel in our day, and it's going to be needed like that, you know. It makes you wonder how many days was it till bang, the 9th chapter started, you know. Is it just a couple of months or whatever? Anyway, praise God.
Amen. And in the comfort of the Holy Spirit was multiplied. Glory be to God. Oh, my. Thank you, Jesus. I heard... I think I've mentioned a little bit about this, but releasing the spirit into your flesh and learning how to do that. There is so much we have to learn about the Spirit of God working in us, and I believe God is going to drop that in us a lot during this latter rain anointing. And it's going to be things that we're going to be able to do through the Spirit of God and listening to him, that's going to bring about the things that we're talking about tonight. You know, we've got whole denominations, many of them, that don't even believe that God can heal anymore. When God's the one that created the universe, for goodness sake, with just a word of his mouth. And that's how he's put the same deal in us. The Holy Spirit that brought the world into existence is that same spirit that lives in us, and he has given us access in Luke 10 and 19 over all the power of the enemy. Woo, glory to God. What's the enemy? Satan. That's real easy. Yeah, Ben, go ahead.
again, I really think it all ties to this whole thing that Christians don't really know who they really are.
That's right. I agree.
And I think it's just kind of opening up to me that even though I've been listening to UBM stuff for so long, like I didn't even grasp that aspect of I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I knew about my authority. I knew about being born again. I knew about tongues. And I knew about all that. But it's just this rest of knowing where I am spiritually with him. It definitely has encouraged me to grow. And it's always that remark that I have in my head of like, whenever I read something, like Jesse last night before I went to bed, I was reading in Matthew, and he was like, if your righteousness isn't greater than these Pharisees, then you're no good. And it's just like that thought of like, do you feel the responsibility yet? Not just I feel comfortable where I am in Christ, but of there's an expectation of the responsibility that's been given to me. And you know, it feels good to feel that because I don't know about y'all, but it feels good to be useful. And you know, what a great person to work for, a God that created the universe. You know, what a great job to get.
Yeah, you carry them around with you too.
Yeah, it's great. It's pretty cool.
Praise God. Yeah, it is. When you understand the, what's the word I'm looking for? The unfathomable riches that reside in each and every one of us. And the boldness he's given, he's getting, listen, the more we learn, the more boldness we're going to get. You're going to see somebody walking in the grocery store or limping into a grocery store. You're going to go up to them. You're going to say, the Lord told me to come over here and pray for you. Can I pray for you? Because he did. He told us, Jesus told us in his word. And you're going up to him, you said, the Lord told me to come over here and pray for you. Can I pray for you? What's wrong with your leg? Well, I got this, I got that. All right, we're going to pray and God's going to heal you. You believe that? Well, if you say it, I guess I believe it. All right, we're going to pray. And then you pray for them and they're healed. Because God's, you're releasing the power. What the power is in you, you're releasing through, you're putting your hands on them. That healing power that the Holy Spirit has given you, that God has given you. Woo, glory to God. It's becoming more evident every day. And that's, the boldness is just us doing it. And people say, well, you got to be led by the Spirit. Spirit's already told you to do it. Jesus told you to do it. And I'm not, don't let condemnation get into you. Don't do that. Just keep in the Word and understanding, like Ben was talking about. If you understand who you are in Christ, you know how you get to do that? It's confessing it every day, who you are in Christ. You know what happened to the Methodist Church, y'all? They were powerful men and women of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, going out and getting people saved, healed, delivered, all sorts of way. What's the Methodist? Wesleyans. The two Wesley brothers made it mandatory that they confess who they were in Christ every day. That's what they did. And after they died, Methodism died. Because they quit doing that. That's too much trouble, you know, to do that. Look what it did for them. They spread the gospel message all over. Because they knew who they were in Christ. Ben, you hit it right on the nail. It's to confess who you are in Christ every day. Woo, glory to God, man. We can all get, anybody getting fired up here? You getting the fire of the Spirit in you? Praise God. The Holy Spirit is not just a distant force. He is God's presence within you, empowering you to live a victorious and supernatural life. And through him, you have divine strength, wisdom, and boldness to fulfill God's purpose for your life. He is my guide, my comforter, my source of unlimited power. And when I recognize his presence and yield to his leading, I walk in the fullness of God's ability. And I praise you, Father. I am filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God that dwells in me makes me strong and unshakable. I have supernatural ability because the Holy Spirit empowers me. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. And it goes, you can go on and on and on who you are in Christ. And you know what happens? You're doing quantum faith. You're speaking those things into an existence, into your life. Glory to God. Amen. Woo. That's affirmations of the power of the Holy Spirit in you from E.W. Kenyon. He went 40 years in his church without anybody dying of any kind of a disease or sickness. None of that. They died of old age. That's it. 40 years. And, but you know why? Because he believed in the confession of the Word of God over your life. Methodism was started over that. And it grew strong as long as John and what's his other brother's name were still alive. And as soon as they died, they quit saying it. And look where they are now. LGBTQ, RSTUVI, well, whatever. You know, it's all over that church. But God. Oh, praise be to God. Lord, I thank you that you are, these tongues of fire going into everybody listening and everybody that's here tonight. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you for that fire that burns deep down in our spirit, Lord, to get more of you. And the way we get more of you, Lord, is less of me. And I thank you, Father, for doing that for each and every one of us. In the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Y'all done got me fired up now. Ooh, I'm going to go out and find somebody that needs some healing.
Michael, what was that? Did you say Confessions by E.W. Kenyon?
E.W. Kenyon.
It? Yeah, what was the story, the article?
I had to look it up here.
Oh, I thought you said it's Confessions. Okay.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of confessions that he does. It's called The Power of Positive Confession of God's Word, E.W. Kenyon. That's one of them. The other one was Declare the Power of the Holy Spirit in you, and that what goes along with it is that thing I just heard told you, Affirmations of the Power of the Holy Spirit in you. Yeah. I just, you know, Charles Capps has one also. If you need healing, that's a good one. He says, take these three times a day for 10 minutes at a time. He says, just like a doctor, you know. He said, you'll be healed in a short while. There you go, Julie. You got it up there.
That's on YouTube that you can listen to it. And I don't know that it plays.
Well, you can transcribe it. You can transcribe it.
It's only 2 hours and 45 minutes.
How long?
2 hours and 46 minutes.
Oh, okay.
It's E.W. Kenyon and Don Gossett.
Yeah, well, that's the other one too. That's part of it. But He's got one himself too.
Okay, maybe that's why it says.
Yeah, Don Gossett is an E.W. Kenyon fan, and he researched E.W. Kenyon a lot and met his some of his family and that kind of thing. Gosh, we're out of time. I'm sorry. Golly, I was getting fired up there a little bit. Well, Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing in each one of us. And Lord, we thank you for getting Nick and Benita home safely without any problems. And they're going to have good gas mileage and no traffic in the name of Jesus. All right, Nick, brother, we'll see you. Bless you. Bless everybody.